75 degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 4:07. Time for hour number two, the Jeremy Lawrence Show. We were talking before the news, spending a lot of time talking about the road situation in the state. Of course, opportunity in the Senate arising to vote on this. So they're saying it's at least $1.2 billion plan that would get money towards roads. But here's what the plan does. It increases the gas tax, saying in 2018 that would mean gas prices would be up by 25 cents, a quarter more. Think about that. A quarter more now would not be so good. Mm-mm. Imagine at that point. So one of the suggestions I made was the idea of, you know what, sell naming rights at schools and things like that for stadiums, gymnasiums, things like that, the track, whatever, you know, something along those lines. And then take the money that they get for schools there and take the money that schools get from the gas tax, put it towards roads. And we had a caller talk a little bit about, well, you know, you'd have to have a vote of the people, so let's have a vote of the people. That's fine. But I kind of think it's an interesting idea. I'd love to get your thoughts on that. Your thoughts as far as other ideas, too. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Or you could share along with the other people who are sharing via text at 803-73. We've got some texts we'll read here shortly. Right now, though, want to go back to the phones where Eric has been standing by. Eric, you've waited patiently. Thank you for doing so. Welcome to the program.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for taking my call. I was just going to make a quick comment on your thought process about funding outside of the school. Mm-hmm. I mean, wouldn't it be a worry that maybe when you start getting into the big money for the bigger schools that they may want to have a little more influence on what's being taught?
Mm,
I mean, it seems like after a while that's where things like this comes up, you know, where it gets to maybe they disagree with one of the curriculums that's being taught there. And I don't know. I mean, it seems like that'd be a problem.
I suppose you could see that, but, you know, you just have to make it so that schools are, all right, well, you don't agree with that? Tough. This is what we're teaching.
Exactly.
You know, you got to figure there's going to be enough demand there to be able to do that, that there's going to be alternatives.
That would be the hope, but, I mean, it would be kind of pretty nerve-wracking on a school administration to all of a sudden have a major sponsor drop them.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, then it'd be a scramble to find funding. But I'll be honest with you, in my line of work, we talk about this a lot. And there's really only two ways to do it, and that's toll roads and a state amendment that toll fees collected are strictly used for roads. And from what we hear in other states, what happens is, you know, your major trunk lines, at some point in time, you're going to have a surplus. You can only fix them so well. I know it. In this day and age, it don't seem possible, but then they trickle down to your M roads and your secondary roads, and that's how some of your smaller cities, you know, keep it up. So, I mean, if you use the road, you should pay for it. I mean, it's as simple as that. And that way, like you said, I mean, if fuel goes up, everything is trucked. I mean, go out on 94. That's all we have out there is, you know, tractor trailers. So, anyway, it was just my thought. And you do have a great idea there, but that was just a concern.
Okay. All right. Well, Eric, I appreciate your phone call today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for taking it. Have a good day.
All right. And you could be a part of the program that way as well. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Did have some texts come in. One of the callers had said something about, well, you know, that naming rights thing wouldn't even pay the salary of the, you know, the coach. Well, I asked, well, what does a high school football coach make? Someone texted in and said that a varsity coach makes roughly $4,500 for doing that. Now, I'm assuming you add that on top of a teacher's salary, because most of them are a teacher as well. Mm-hmm. So you know that that's what they're making. I mean, teacher's salary, that's one thing, but I think, you know what, you've got some money there in between that $4,500 and the rest, whatever it is. And, you know, it'd be whatever demand made it. As far as, you know, okay, well, the demand for it is this high, so we're going to put the price of it up here, you know. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. The other thing, someone had suggested, they said, well, small towns could never do what I'm suggesting. Says that in the town they teach in, there are no businesses larger than 10 employees. Better idea, all lotto proceeds to the education to education, that kind of thing. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Be interesting to know, and we'll have to do some work into this to figure out where the money from the lotto goes at this point. But I think the bottom line to all of it is finding a way that is not going to increase taxes. Because I think the closer you get to this, the more when it comes down to the idea of my taxes are going, no, I don't want that. Because, you know, we said, what was it, a few months ago, well, you know what? Higher taxes to take care of roads. Yeah, we're willing to fund that. But then when you start, not that guy. We can't do that. So, you know, that's the other part of the issue. It means we've got to find something totally different. Now, another person has texted in. They said that the state should only use gas tax money to repair state roads and not subsidize city or county roads. Cities and county road commissions should be responsible for their own road maintenance. So there you go. There's another idea to share with you as well. If you got an idea, 803-73, you can text us. You can also call us at 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. Ultimately, you know, the idea is simply coming up with a way to be able to fund road maintenance and road repair.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the House came up with an idea. They passed it. It went on to the Senate. And my prediction at that point was this thing's going to pass. This thing is going to go through. The Senate will rubber stamp this. The governor will go, okay, it's a great start. Let's do this. At least we can point to it and say we did something to start the process. At realizing, of course, that after the election, yeah, there's going to be more to the process. But with this, the Senate has gone a direction that I'm not sure anybody expected this one. And the funny thing about it is, if you read into this, you've got Republicans in charge of the Senate. Some of them are saying, yes, we're for higher taxes on fuel. Democrats in the Senate are saying, no, we're not for higher taxes. I mean, are we living in bizarro world now?
Or the Twilight Zone, something.
I mean, it's something strange has happened here, and I don't know. You know, I'm assuming at some point I'll wake up and reality will ensue. That's all I'm figuring here, because that just, it doesn't compute. But, you know, the other part of it is that we're seeing that, you know, there's senators that are saying it's not likely to happen. The spokesperson for Gretchen Whitmer is saying we don't expect to see this one pass. It ends up on the agenda. And then it gets pushed back, and then it gets pushed back, and then it gets pushed back. So whether that'll get passed or not. But the House package, I think the House package, it did it by moving money around a little bit. And with that, that's not necessarily where you go, okay, you got higher taxes on everything. You got, you know, you got the higher prices on everything that gets delivered by a truck. Yeah, that might be a little bit of an easier one to swallow. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it works out. Go to the phones right now. Dale is standing by in Scotts. Hi, Dale. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I am assuming that the trucks do 60% of the damage, maybe 70% of the damage to the roads.
It's an assumption. I don't know the answer to that.
I'm assuming that.
Yeah, okay.
And if we raise the gas tax, the fuel tax, higher than anybody other state, they'll drive here through here and never buy a drop.
Yeah.
They've got enough fuel to run.
And that's part of it there as well. I mean, I guess that's why I've been thinking we've got to come up with a different solution, something that uses money we already have or finds a private solution, which was kind of that indirect idea through the schools, I was thinking.
I guess I don't have a problem with the 1% increase in the sales tax and make the expressways tollways.
Okay. Well, it'd be interesting to see what that would do. Thanks for your call, Dale. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And yeah, maybe that's another thing, to be able to say, well, all right, sales tax goes a little higher, and that extra percent, well, guess what? Roads.
Yeah, why not?
And, you know, I don't know. Maybe that in concert with what the House put through, that might be interesting. That might be intriguing. Toll roads, I think the one thing that you would find is that people would become really familiar with the roads that parallel toll roads. And I say that because I've lived in states that have toll roads. That's exactly what you do if you live in a state with a toll road. You drive down the road next to it.
There's only one. There's only one issue, though, because if you're going to cross the bridge, and that would be a toll road, there's only one bridge that crosses it, and that's a highway.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to get on the toll road if you wanted to go across the bridge. But you could parallel it all the way up.
Yeah, I mean, you parallel the whole way, and then, okay, all right, well, 50 cents, cross the bridge,
yeah.
Okay, great. Now I'm off the road again and back over here on this side road. You talk about toll roads. I mean, that's not a perfect solution because how many people will go, yeah, I want to pay $1.50 to go visit over there, you know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I tend to think that if we do the idea of toll roads, we're going to see the use of our interstates go down just a little bit. Because you could picture it. People driving up, you know. And I know, I mean, I used to drive 23 on the other side of the state. Used to drive up and down that quite a bit. And guess what? There are roads that parallel that thing all the way. Because I can remember times where, oh, we got an accident up here? Okay, we'll turn off over here. We'll go down. I mean, you know, 30, 40 miles later, okay, yeah, I suppose we could get back on the road. So I don't know that that's a perfect solution either. Love to hear your thoughts, though. 382-4280-877-382-4280 or 80373 if you would like to text us and be a part of the discussion that way and let us know what you're thinking about there as well. Back to the phone lines we go. Where Rick is standing by. Hi, Rick. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on. I just got a couple comments. You know, if the Congress or the Senate, whatever, would just crack down and do their jobs, there's plenty of money out there.
Mm-hmm.
They always take the easy way out, raise your taxes. You know, that's the easy way out for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're talking about semi-drivers, or the last guy was about, you know, they use the highways a lot more. A lot of people don't realize they have the government pass a surcharge so they can put on your bill for these diesel trucks.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they don't care what it goes up to, because they just raise the surcharge. They charge you to bring the stuff to the store.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I talked to other people, and they said there's a lot of money out there. They just got to find it and find ways to cut instead of raising. That's my opinion on it. I just don't understand how they can raise taxes every time.
Well, it is the easy way out. You're right about that. I think it involves politicians doing something that none of them are willing to do, and that is sit down, look over everything line by line and go, okay, we do need that, we don't need that, we don't need that, cut that, cut that. It's just not in their vocabulary.
Oh, yeah. I worked for the government for 25 years. I know what goes, you know, in a department, and I know how much waste goes on, and, you know, there's a lot of places they could save a lot of money.
Okay. All right, Rick, Thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. 382-4280, if you'd like to be a part of the program as well. Someone texted and said that they thought we should deprivatize road construction. Deprivatize. I think the only thing that would do is raise cost of construction. Because then, you know, you got the government doing, which means if you've done anything with the government, you know it's going to take an awful lot of money to pass all those regulations and get everything all checked off on and a little bit. Imagine the roads. I mean, we'd never build roads. Ever.
They would take forever just to get it going.
So I don't know that I necessarily agree with that idea, but interesting idea as well. Now, you have something as well?
Yes, going back to the lotto issue, mm-hmm. I'm on Michigan's Gov website, and there's the question, where does the money go? And I have the answer right here in front of me. It says, after prizes have been awarded to players, commissions have been paid to retailers, and other operating costs have been satisfied, and this is in capital letters,
mm-hmm.
all lottery net revenue is transferred to the state school aid fund to support public education programs in Michigan K through 12.
Okay. So all the profits, all net profits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it sounds like that's being done already. So
yep.
Thanks for looking that up. I appreciate that. So there you go. I mean, we're already proving this, I think, that there is no easy answer. And I think that part of it is going to be the tough job of two things here. First of all, I think, all right, the House package, if you're the Senate, you got to pass it right there. We'll put it through. We'll put our rubber stamp on that and get that thing to the governor. The second part of it is sitting down with the budget and going, all right, where's this money going? Where does it go? Where do we need it to go? What can we do? We got to cut this. We got to cut that so that we can raise this over here and take care of this. That's just, I think that's just the bottom line when you look at all of this. You want to be a part of the discussion? 803-73. You can text us your thoughts. 382-4280-877. 382-4280. It's back to the phones we go, where David is standing by in Kalamazoo. Hey, how you doing?
Good. Your lottery money. They took the lottery money, gave it to the schools, but then took money away from the schools because they got all the lottery money. Now when they pass the gas tax, 6 cents or 6% tax on a dollar for your gallon of gas, that was supposed to go for your roads too. No, we take that and put that in our general fund, put that in the schools and everything else. You know, we pay 41 cents a gallon in tax. We are the fifth tax state in a gas tax. You want to raise it even more? We'll be number one. We'll beat California. You know, what they need to do is keep shifting the money. It's like Grand Rapids. They had their little millage there. They were going to fix the roads. They didn't use that money to fix the roads. So then they come back and pass another millage and say, oh, we put it in writing that we're going to use it to fix our roads. You know, the government does what they want with the money and then come back and, oh, my God, poor us, we can't fix the roads. They don't even build a road decent. You drive down 94, it's nothing but a washboard. And how does concrete actually fall apart on the side of the road? Well, you know, I mean, that road's not even that old. I don't even think that road's 5 years old. And the concrete's got, you know, a six-inch hole every, you know, little seam. The concrete just completely fell apart. You know, build me a better road. Stop. Yeah, but they don't. They don't want to build you a better road because, oh, my God, we won't have, oh, boy, if we build a road the last 30 years, we won't have a job.
All right. Well, David, okay. I appreciate it. Thanks for your call.
All right.
You know, and I think that was one thing that the House package talked about is guarantees. You know, a warranty on your work here. So if you did work on the road and it's falling apart, guess what, you guys? You get to come back and work on the road again for free. You know, and that's, you know, that gets your companies that are going to say, all right, well, we're going to do good quality work for you because we don't want to have to come back and send our boys back here to do this for nothing.
That's right.
That isn't good for anybody.
No.
You know that. So, I don't know. That's kind of an interesting idea. All right. Well, one thing that I wanted to do was give you the opportunity for a good weekend. Always. Why not? Because I am so there, I'm all about that. Well, how about 4 tickets to go see The Fault in Our Stars? This is a brand new movie, and it is going to be at Celebration Cinema in Portage. Movie that looks to be pretty big from what we're hearing. So 4 tickets. We'll give them away. And now, are you ready over there?
Yes, I am ready.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. I have to ask because basically that means since he's ready, you've got 2 things you got to do. First of all, you got to give us a call, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. And when you do that, because Michael's ready, he's going to make you answer a dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question. All right, go ahead.
And once again, it fits the bill. This one's pretty easy.
All right.
What bad guy must Mario defeat to rescue Princess Peach in the original Super Mario Brothers?
Okay, if you know the answer to that one, give us a call, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. If you don't know the answer to that one, run to the internet, get it, and then give us a call. We'll continue on as we discuss things. You know what? Does Terry Lynn Land need to get in front of the cameras and in front of radio microphones a little more often? That question was raised by a columnist on MLive. I've got an answer for you on that. I think it's interesting. We'll talk. Continuing on, Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO, 75 degrees in Kalamazoo. Well, we have the occasion to give away some movie tickets, and that involved a dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question. So here with the question and answer, the inestimable Michael Loudon.
All right. The question was, what bad guy must Mario defeat to rescue Princess Peach in the original Super Mario Brothers? And the answer is Bowser.
There you go. All right. So who was it that came up with the answer?
Mike from Kalamazoo.
All right. So, Mike, you get some tickets to go check out that movie, The Fault in Our Stars. It's coming out this Friday, and it's at Celebration Cinema in Portage. You know what? It's a great place to go see a movie, regardless of what the movie is. So, but this one's going to be a good one. This will be a great one, I have a feeling. Well, we're going to continue the discussion. You know what? Terry Lynn Land, she's not spent a lot of time with the media. Kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit, but we'll talk about that a little bit further, get your thoughts on it as well, as we continue ahead. /77 to Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. This portion of the Jeremy Lawrence Show brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house every Saturday from 10 until 2. And before we continue on with our discussions with you, we do have a traffic note, and so we take a timeout for traffic with Michael.
The Lovell and John Streets are closed in downtown Kalamazoo due to smoke coming out of a building right behind the Epic Center, a listener told me.
Okay, so that area, that the roads again are?
Lovell and John Street.
Okay. All right, we'll keep an eye on that and see what's going on with that. But that definitely a traffic note you will want to be aware of. Now, one thing that you're probably aware of at this point, and if you're not, I'm not sure where you've been. There's a Senate race in the state of Michigan. And it's a Senate race between two people because Carl Levin has decided he's done with his time in the Senate. So we have two people, Gary Peters for the Democrats. He has no opposition in the primary, so he's the guy. And Terry Lynn Land for Republicans. She's got no opposition in the primary, so she's on that side. These are the two people running for the office. Now, Terry Lynn Land has been doing something kind of interesting. You've seen very little of her in the media. She's not appeared before the media much at all. And this is a column, Tim Skubick put this together in MLive. And in his column, he talks about how she's really just kind of, it's almost like following the Snyder pattern for things is what he's calling it. It's the idea is that, you know, you're not before the media what much, and when you do, well, you know, we're really, that's not one of the priorities we're looking at. Well, I don't know that she's necessarily done that. She's just not appeared much in the media. And I've been kind of scratching my head over her campaign at this point because there are some ads out there. So you've seen her a little bit, but not a great deal. You don't see a lot, and I haven't seen a great deal of the last time that it was on her website, there weren't many updates. I'm a little surprised that she's not out in the media a little bit more. And I don't know if that's a calculated thing to be able to say, all right, well, you know, if she's not in the media, you know, then people at least know who she is. And, well, she was Secretary of State, so, well, yeah, they'll elect her. Well, maybe. I mean, there's name recognition there, and I will give you that. I will give you that she did a pretty good job as Secretary of State. But you got to wonder if there is some reason why she's not spending time with the media. Now, just to be fair here, we have extended the invitation for her to come and be on this program. I have extended the invitation to her to do an interview. I, of course, would be very kind to anyone coming to do an interview. If you've listened for any length of time, you know I ask good questions. But I'm not going to be unfair or unreasonable. And I think that could be said of a lot of different media outlets. So you wonder why she's not talking to the media. And, you know, I think really breaking this down, I think you know, whether or not this is a good suggestion, I really don't think that it is a good suggestion. Because, you know, staying out of the media, they're going to come up with stories about you one way or another. And if you're not in front of the media, they're going to be going to other people and other sources and other things to be able to find ways to tell people about you. Or they're going to go, all right, well, there is somebody else running for the office. I'll go talk to them. And it seems like that that Gary Peters has been willing to talk to the media. Now, whether or not he's telling the truth when he opens his mouth, he's a politician, so, you know, I guess you have your answer there. But, you know, I'm just scratching my head over this one because you would think she'd want to be out there, she'd want to be fighting the good fight and say, all right, you know what? Yeah, we'll spend some time out there. We're gonna talk about this. Now, you know, I think this is something as also of just in the fairness of disclosure, I have met Ms. Land, and she's a fantastic person. Easy to talk to, easy to deal with. But for some reason, I don't know if it's just her campaign has decided not to do that or if they've decided, you know what, nobody's paying attention anyway, so we're just going to kind of hold off. I don't know. But I kind of wonder what the strategy is behind that. And I kind of wonder, too, you know, is there enough name recognition with her that people will go, ah, all right. Okay, I don't know who this Peters guy is, but I remember her. She had some office somewhere and must have done decent, you know. So, okay, all right, we'll give her the job. You know, is there enough of that there to be able to go, all right, yeah, we'll give her the benefit of the doubt. I wonder about that. You know, if you look through, and I followed Washington Post has a national map that they're keeping track of Senate races and that kind of thing. Right now, their national map shows Republicans up 52-48 in the Senate after the election happens in November. One of the states they say that flips is Michigan. They say there's a 60% chance that Terry Lynn Land wins that seat. And I think some of that probably has to do with the amount of money that's going to go into this, because you know that, you know, Republicans and certainly the unaffiliated PACs and such are going to pour money into the market. They already have. And Republicans know that this is one of those states that could flip control of the Senate. Still, if you look at polling data from the race, it's close, but Gary Peters is up right now. So you got to think there's some strategy that has to be considered here. And I guess, you know, my two cents worth is open yourself up to some questions. Be ready to talk about some issues. Be ready to talk about things. Now, she was ready to talk about things when she was at the Mackinac Island Conference, at least part of the way. When asked about poverty, she came out and started talking about, well, we need to get good jobs. That's the one thing we need to do to be able to fight poverty. And I think it's a good answer. It's a very good answer. But I think that's the kind of strategy. Get out there, get voters to know who you are so that, and you say, well, all right, they already know her. Well, okay, but she's really not talking a lot at this point. It just, I'm puzzled. I am really puzzled by this. And I think she really does need to be talking to the media and in turn to people. Because this campaign is going to be an awful lot about, all right, well, who can we trust to be able to send to the Senate? And I think, you know, if she got out there and told people about who she is and that kind of thing, people might end up liking her. I don't know.
Yeah, and she can let everybody know what issues she stands for, because if people just decide to vote for her name recognition, what if then you find out later she stood for an issue you didn't support?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's happened before in this country where people go, hey, I like that candidate. Why? Because they're cool. Look no further than the White House if you wonder about that one. But I'd love to hear your comments on this, what you think about the race, what you think about what she needs to do. Maybe she's doing enough. I don't know. 382-4280. 877-382-4280, 803-73 if you want to text us. Let's head to the phones right now and chat with Roger in Kalamazoo. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Jeremy. Before I say anything, I want to thank you for your common sense approach to talk media. That really helps people get both sides of an issue, and you don't get in their people's faces, and I really appreciate that as somebody listening to the show.
Well, thank you for your comments. I appreciate that.
As far as Carrie Lynn Land, if you stop and think about it, she's really doing the smart thing because she has no opponent, as you mentioned earlier, in a primary.
Mm-hmm.
And so she can save her money because you know the Democrats are going to go after her tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they already have. But, you know, the thing of it is that there hasn't been any negative campaigns, so to speak, against Gary Peters. And it's interesting. His voting record is abysmal. He voted for cap and trade, which is basically what Obama's doing through the EPA and the increase the energy tax.
Mm-hmm.
He's voted for the amnesty for illegal aliens, and he voted for Obamacare. Those are three big things that are directly affecting American people. And
I think, you know, the PACs have gone after him for Obamacare vote because you've seen those ads everywhere. But, yeah, you haven't seen much from her campaign.
Oh, yeah, but see, it's kind of piecemeal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way I look at it is as long as she is saving her money because she doesn't have to worry about a primary, and she can start getting things together for the general election between August and November, I think you're going to see a lot about Carrie Lynn Land that comes out.
Hmm.
And I've met Carrie Lynn Land. I've asked her what her vision is for America. And if you remember when Ronald Reagan ran,
mm-hmm.
he always talked about that shiny, bright city on the hill,
mm-hmm.
his vision of America, and he kept things really positive. Now, he had a way of disarming his opponents, and I won't say his enemies, his opponents, because that's basically what they were back then. They were opponents. And he did it in such a way, they'd even laugh at him. But he totally disarmed them, and at the same time, he let the American people know what he thought of the United States
mm-hmm.
and what his vision was, and I think people connected with that. I think you're going to see something like that from Terry.
Well, you know, I guess I'm hoping so because, you know, like you, I've met her as well. She seems like a very, very nice person and, you know, on top of it in terms of where she stands on issues and that kind of thing. I guess, you know, the frustration from my angle is you're not talking to people. You're not getting out there and letting people get to know you again. I mean, because she's been out of office, what, 4 years?
Years, something like that.
Something along those lines. So, you know, people have a tendency to forget.
They do. They do. But the thing of it is that, you know, you have a limited amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be a highly contested race because the Democrats are going to go, they don't want to lose Michigan. Mm-hmm. Michigan, you know, has helped them along in the Senate races. And basically they want to keep control. And I don't mean that just to control the Senate. They want to keep control of the people.
Sure.
And the only way that that's going to get turned around is you're going to have a candidate that's smart. She's run elections in Michigan before and won at a wide margin.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows how to do elections. I just hope that, you know, she's not listening to her handlers too much. But if it were me, if I were in her position, I think I would kind of play it smartly. I would save my money, buy my time, get my campaign together, get the ammunition I'm going to use against Gary Peters, and then just blitz and get people to know me. That way, because, you know, money, it takes a lot of money to do this. And, yeah, she's got pretty decent nest egg, but it's going to take a lot more than what she's got.
Okay. All right, Roger, I got to run. Thanks for your call today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. What do you think about it? 382-4280, 877-382-4280, as we continue on the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Continuing on, 75 degrees in Kalamazoo. It's Jeremy Lawrence here on 590 WKZO. You know, I don't know if that's the whole idea of just, you know, saving up cash and saving it up and taking a bit of a beating now and occasionally just, you know, showing up here, a little there. I don't know. I mean, they've done some spending on some ads, and you know there's going to be an awful lot of thought about, all right, where do we spend the money? Where do we do it? How do we do this? And, yeah, that does cost some money, but I think, you know, when it comes to the media, picking up the phone is free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going and saying, you know what, I'll do an exclusive interview with your TV station or your radio station or your newspaper or whatever. That sort of thing is going to get a lot of attention, particularly now. Maybe what she's doing is saving up until she gets to the point where she does that and then, boom, it explodes everywhere. Finally, she's talking to us, you know.
She's going to go on one of those barnstorming campaign tours.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I mean, I know she is genuinely interested in the race. I know she's genuinely interested in the state and in serving the people of the state. You know, I get that. I'm scratching my head trying to figure this one out and can't do it. If you'd like to comment, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 80373 is the texting number if you would like to be a part of that as well via text. Truthfully, this is going to be an interesting race. You're going to have Terry Lynn Land, and she's going to be backed up by a lot of the conservative PACs. Then on the other side, you've got Gary Peters, the man that says we shouldn't see this outside money coming into the race, and then accepts outside money coming into the race as long as it works for him. He's running. He's definitely going to get support from that. You're going to see a huge battle over this one, and it really could go either way. It will be interesting to see how this works and which way that it goes as well.
No.
You had that look of, I've got traffic to share.
No traffic.
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry, I did not mean to confuse you.
You're just kind of looking like, yes, I'm ready, I'm waiting, I'm waiting to pounce. No, we don't have any new traffic notes to share with you. But I think the biggest thing at this point in the race, I mean, it's still early, and anything can happen. I mean, I've seen polls that have her neck and neck or 6 points down. And 6 points down at this point, you can beat that one. You can beat that one. I mean, ask Ronald Reagan at this point in the presidential campaign. Jimmy Carter looked like he was going to get reelected. And, we know how that ended. So with this, I mean, there's time, definitely. But I am curious as to the thought behind, okay, well, maybe we won't talk to the media. I don't know. I don't know, but as far as that goes, I mean, I could still just say this. We've extended the invitation. The invitation is still open for her. I mean, she can give us a call. She can come into the studio. Either way, we'd be fair. I will guarantee that for you. We will be fair. Well, got to run. We got some news coming your way next, so we'll get you up on the latest, what's going on, that kind of thing. And you know what? I think we'll get together and do this again tomorrow. How's 3 work for you? Is that good? Great. We'll see you then. Till then, have a good one.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.